I watched one of your interviews, and you said that women were lied to when they were told that they can have it all. Why did you say that?
I'm done with it. I'm so done. I'm so, so, so done. The thing is, this is new, okay? Because if you've been following me for any length of time, you'll see that I've always been talking about empowerment in my own way, right?
Yep.
It's never been a case of get the Muslim women out there. We need to be out there. We need to be here. We need to be there. Representation. I'm not really about that life.
Yep.
But I am about empowering Muslim women with a sense of self-worth and self-confidence, and not allowing other people's BS to get in here to tell you stuff that is not from the deen and not from Islam and nothing to do with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from you. So I've always been about that. I was invited to a marriage seminar.
Yeah.
And they were actually, it was interesting. It was a marriage seminar, but it was about gender equality in Islam. And I was on the panel, there was another imam, and then there was two other influencers, and they were millennials. And we're having a conversation about gender, I guess. So it made sense, you know, that kind of the conversation went that way. But these young women are not married. They would like to get married. But as they said, they can't deal with the toxic masculinity of Muslim men. They talked about misogyny. They talked about the patriarchy, all the buzzwords, right? I was profoundly bothered by this because I could hear how they sounded from the man's perspective. I could hear them, if I was a Muslim man, I could hear how they sounded, right? They sounded like man bashing, you know, male hating feminists, okay? No cap. And I thought to myself, whatever it is that you're watching, reading, studying is poisoning your mind about men. And this is going to be difficult for you if you actually want to find a life partner and form a family and actually kind of have a Muslim life, if that makes sense. Just a normative Islamic life, right? How will you accept that your father is your wakil? How will you accept that? Isn't that the patriarchy?
Yes.
How will you accept that you need to have a wali to get married? Isn't that the patriarchal control again? How will you accept that you must obey? Oh my God, obey. Oh, obey your husband. Oh, no. She said the whole word. How will you accept that? Isn't that toxic masculinity? Isn't that misogyny? Isn't that all of that stuff that those people are talking about? So at that stage, at that point, I said, you know what? We need to be careful, because what we're doing is we're allowing ourselves to be drawn along a path that is already turning out badly for these people. Already, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know whether you see the TikToks and the, you know, these women, right? If they're older women, they're complaining, where have all the men gone? If they're young women, they're saying, men ain't she, you know, men are trash. And you men who do And I was like, as Muslim women, we need to be smarter than this, okay? And, but the thing is, you already see it. I'm already seeing Muslim girls making TikToks about, no man can tell me about this, and no man has got the right to say X, Y, Z to me. That is the conditioning. That's the programming. That's what's happening right now, okay? And so in answer to your question about having it all, yes, we were lied to. Women were lied to in the 60s, okay? And we are still being lied to today. There's always going to be a payoff. So there's always going to be a price to pay for whatever it is that you want. And I think that that whole thing of you can have it all on your own time, how you want it, it's just nonsense.
Doesn't work.
And we're seeing the like I said, we are seeing the effects of that now. And I think if we're fair, Jana, I think many of us have seen potentially already in our own communities where families or society told women to study for 10 years and have a career first, right? And then find a good husband. And how many of our sisters, subhanAllah, in their mid-30s, and maybe they started looking
late 20s, 30s.
It's really hard. This is real, guys. And those poor women, subhanAllah, you know, lovely women, beautiful women, intelligent women, mashallah, practicing, you know, they want the family, they want the husband, they want the children. But the choices they made now mean that that may not happen for them because of those choices. And again, it's, I believe it's because people thought that we had all the time in the world, that we can get to do everything on our time. And when we are ready, the right man will come and he'll be there. And I think a lot of women are finding that that's just not the case. And on the one hand, you can get angry about that and say, but why will these men not marry an older sister? It's not fair. You know, why do they discriminate against older sisters, etc., right? Why do they discriminate against, you know, I'm a good person, I'm a good woman, and I get it. And I'm not defending that. But what I am saying is that women, realize the reality of the situation. You're not in charge here. You can't shame men into wanting to marry older women when naturally, biologically, and maybe just preference-wise, they'd prefer someone younger to start a family with. Is it our place to shame them for the results of our choices, even though we didn't know we were making that choice at the time? And I know. Many sisters will not like that I'm saying this. Yeah. Already sisters are not happy that I'm saying this, okay? I get it. But I don't want to sell fairy tales to people. I don't think it's honest. If we realize that something's happening in our community as a result of ideas that we have gained from somewhere, we need to call it out. Because I remember I said, you know, in one of my interviews, I said, like, this is not a fairy tale. And people had an issue with that. But I'm sorry, if you've been any amount of time in this life, you know choices have consequences. I've made choices and I've paid for those. Just like you're going to make choices and you're going to pay the price for those choices. It isn't a fairy tale. There are real world issues here that we have to start facing up to and get real about if we are going to get the outcome that we want. Some of us may never get that outcome because of the choices that we made. And sometimes we have to accept that, you know? So yes, it's great to lift and uplift people. It's important for our own well-being. But when it comes to anything to do with others, I don't think that it's honest to feed into people's fantasies. I think it's better you give them a dose of reality so at least they can see how the land really lies and make decisions based on that. Rather than you fed them all this stuff, you built them up to this place and they think that there's, you know, they believe a narrative that's not true, but they feel great about it and they're making decisions from that place and they're not going to see the results that they want because reality smacked them in the face.